Well, this, the manifestations were interesting. The only one that had an inkling of anything I was going to share on might have been Betty, but every one of those manifestations, God said he was in our arms. I mean, we're in his arms. He said that. He would never leave us. He would not forsake us. That we just stand faithfully on his word. And what we're going to do, what I want to do today is to look. Is this thing on? Is to look in the life of a man who had a lot of doubts whether God was with him at all. A man who had organized his life, had so set up his life so that it would be a life that was in harmony with whatever he understood and knew of what God was about. He lived a long, long time ago. It's quite possible this book, this Job we're going to be looking at, this happened before Moses. It's quite possible before Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. So I mean, that was like 14 or 1500 BC. BC means before Christ. AD, well, we already went over that, right? And well, let's just turn there. Well, we're not going to go there first. That's right. Since it's about Job, where do you think we would start? Yeah, well, good, because we're going to start in Isaiah. A lot of the things about Job are what people think should be, what people think God should be, what others think God should be, and what really is. In Isaiah 55, by the way, it was practically impossible for me to take notes because of this. It's very hard to write. Verse 6, okay? Does anyone have a version? What version are we all reading from? Pretty much King James? NIV? Good, okay. All right. It says, God said this now, okay? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. We'll skip that one. Verse 8. Okay, everyone there? 55:8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Now watch these words carefully. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And in the book of Job, okay, what we're going to see, everybody was wrong. Everybody was wrong about the situation. The only one that was right was God. Job was wrong. Satan was wrong. Job's three friends were wrong. The neighbors were wrong. The children were wrong. His wife was wrong. Everybody was wrong. Everybody had missed the boat. Nobody understood what was going on in the life of Job except God. Satan thought he knew. Satan thought, I've got this dude lined up in my sights. I know he's nothing but a loser. See, I know he'll crack. I know I can break him. And that's what he thought, but it wasn't true. See, and I tell you what Job went through was just unbelievable. I mean, that anyone to go through that, very few of us have ever gone through the things that went through Job. You know, I mean, he was down to absolutely nothing. And he was bending under the strain. He just couldn't handle it. But he did, with a little help from his friend, his maker. Okay. If you can, you might want to, well, that's all right. We'll just finish this out. So we read verse 8 and 9. Heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. What do you think that means? Yes. Do you think that then that we understand everything about what goes on in the life, as you might say, or the mind of God? I mean, we certainly know more now because we have the Spirit of God, that much more revelation has been given even than since the time of Isaiah, which was probably 1,000 years after Job lived. I mean, nobody really knows when Job lived. There's no dates given, okay? But from the language of the Hebrew and all that, they think pretty ancient, before Moses. And Moses, all right, anyway. Okay, yeah, you know, the problem is we just don't understand. If you take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, of course, I didn't mark. That's all right. Okay. Hard for me to turn the pages. Okay. Now, as concerning things offered to idols, I have the New King James, so it's slightly different. Okay. Next words, we know that we all have knowledge. See, we know it all, right? We are just so smart. We just know it all. Okay, but what does he say? Knowledge puffs up. This is revelation from God. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing at all. Now, this is Paul, the man that got more revelation about what's going on than anybody else, okay? He was given the revelation about this entire administration that we live in, this age of grace. And turn to chapter 13 in here. Oh, by the way, I'll finish off that 8. But if anyone loves God, this one is known of him. You know, and there's the thing. If you love God, then you got somewhere. But just like Nick was saying, you know, all these Corinthians is loaded with this stuff. All these little jabs at people that think they know everything. People that think they're so smart. Your little PhD guys, you know, your college professors, the great geniuses, the know-it-alls. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, Paul says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." Okay, and the key thing is there, we see through a glass darkly. Now Paul got the greatest amount of revelation that any man has received practically. I mean, the abundance of the new knowledge, the information that he got. And he said, we see through a glass darkly. Okay? And, you know, you got to let those words sink into your mind. Because if he said that, you know, and this guy was personally instructed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that. Jesus Christ came down, revelation from Jesus Christ. It says it in Galatians, says it all over the place. You know, he got an abundance of revelation. And he said, we see through a glass darkly. So that's the other thing. You got to understand that we don't necessarily understand every single thing that's going on. We live in a world that is peopled by forces that we can't even see. You can't see God. No one's ever seen him. We have Holy Spirit. We have it without measure. We have it inside of us completely. But, you know, we still don't always see and understand everything. And we're caught up a lot of times by what we think we understand. And that's a lot of what went on in Job. A lot of the problems that went on in Job was what people thought they understood. Okay, so now let's turn to the book of Job. Job is just before Psalms. Not just, but close. Verse 1, chapter 1. Everyone there? Okay, there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. By the way, if I was going to title his teaching. I was actually going to call him up and have him put it up on the board, was looking for a J-O-B. Okay. His name was Job, and that man was what?
Perfect.
Okay. Mine says blameless and upright. One who feared God and shunned evil. Okay, now that is the divine perspective, right? That's what it says. He's blameless and upright, one that who feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, a very large household. So this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. The dude was loaded. You know, he just had buku bucks. All right. A lot of kids, too. You'd have to have a lot of money with 10 kids, wouldn't you? His sons would go feast in their houses, each on his appointed day. That means like his birthday. So every one of the sons, they'd have their big birthday parties, okay? And would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So they're just having a big old good time. Happy, nice, you know, just a beautiful scene. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them and rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. So this, a burnt offering is you make a sacrifice of an animal. So every time after one of these kids had their birthdays, and they probably had an ox or two, you know, grilling on the old barbecue and all that, okay, then Job goes and he offers a sacrifice for each one of them. Because he said what? Yes, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. All right, so Job was a little concerned about how his kids were behaving. Which is, of course, something that none of us parents have ever worried about our kids, right? But he was obviously very concerned about this, and especially about cursing God, it seems. Okay, so there's the scene, Job. That's down here on earth. Everyone's partying, having a good time. Now the scene switches. We're going to go to where the stuff that really affects life, the stuff that's really important goes on, okay? Now there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. All right, this is talking about the heavenly host. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, where you been? Okay, so Satan answered the Lord and said, from walking to, going to and fro in the earth and from walking back and forth in it. I own the place, dude. See, it's mine. I'm the top dog. This is my place. I'm going anywhere I want in it. I know you made it for man. I know he was supposed to have dominion over it, but I got it because I beat you. See, this is the kind of arrogance. Remember, all of the heavenly host is up here, right? And here comes Satan, who has rebelled. We'll get to that in a few minutes. All right. And he's saying, I got the place, man. I'll go anywhere I want. Then the Lord said to Satan, well, while you've been running your fingers over all you had, did you come across a little razor blade that slit him up? Because did you see this guy Job, my servant? Okay, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Now, have we heard that before? Where was that said before? The first thing it said about him, right? So now God is saying the same thing about Job. This guy's blameless. This guy's perfect and upright. He fears me. He shuns evil. You don't have him. You're marching up and down all over the place. You don't have him. You see that? Now again, this is in front of the whole court of heaven. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Remember those words for naught. It's a Hebrew word. We'll see it again. Have you not made a hedge about him? Around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side. Notice around, around, around. How does that read in the King James? Does it say the same thing? About. Okay? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Well, isn't that terrible? I mean, isn't that a horrible thing? I mean, you see how evil Satan is? I mean, what's wrong with that? But what he's saying is, this good thing that you've done is actually wicked. See? Because you've given him everything. So he's got, or let's just keep reading. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, here they're all getting together in heaven. I don't know. They're having a party. They're having a business meeting. And here he comes in and spits this in God's face. He spits it in his face. I mean, you know, you have no idea how evil and how wicked, how desperately wicked Satan is, the devil is. You just don't realize it. We've basically been taught that there was a revolution in heaven, right? And that the adversary, Satan, the devil, tried to overthrow God. And he got a third of the heavenly host to go along with him, a third of the angels. So we know that it's possible, even in heaven, for angelic beings and powers to be swayed. Right? Think about it. So here he is in heaven, in the courtroom, in the courtyard of God or whatever, wherever they meet, I don't know, because we see through a glass darkly, right? See? We don't understand when that rebellion happened exactly. We don't understand what was all involved in it, because why? We see through a glass darkly. See, we don't understand all these things, but we've got a little glimpse of what had gone on. And right here, you can see it again. I mean, Satan is just full of hatred for God. He hates it. He hates it that people are blessed. He hates it that people are happy. He hates. He's evil. He's wicked. Desperately. You stretch forth your hand. You slap him in the face. You touch what he has, and he'll curse you to your face. Okay? There is a war. Turn to Revelation 12. Keep your finger in Job, though, because there is a war going on. See? And whether we like it or not, we're in it. We're not going to get out of it. We were put on this earth to have dominion. Adam blew it. See? Adam listened to Eve, who listened to that old serpent, which we're going to read about, who was the devil and Satan. Okay? And he, by changing his allegiance from listening to what God had said to listening to what the woman had said, who had listened to what the devil had said, he changed his allegiance. High treason in heaven. High treason in heaven. Benedict Arnold. You all know about Benedict Arnold? Amazing guy, you know, incredible general. Ran into a lot of trouble, got a lot of opposition from his own countrymen. Finally, he said, you know what, this ain't worth it. I need money, I'm in debt. I'm going to betray. I'm going to take this fort, and I'm going to transfer it over to the British. I'm going to surrender it to the British. High treason, okay? Because God put man down here on earth to have dominion over it. And it says over every beast of the field and every creeping thing. It says a serpent came up, right? Would you say a serpent's a creeping thing? Should have had dominion. See? But instead, he listens to his wife, who listened to the devil. And that's the same thing as not listening to God. All right, so in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, and you know, when the Bible uses the word behold, it means look, you look carefully at this. Think about this. Consider this. Hold it up like you would a diamond. See? Look at this closely. Think about this. A great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. Those are crowns. That's a freaky looking thing, huh? You know? His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. That's talking about the rebellion that went on. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. Now, we're going to skip over a couple of verses because we're not I only have a half hour more to teach, that's why. And look at verse 7. What happened? All right, everyone say it together. There was war in heaven. All right. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. All right. We're not going to run back to Genesis to see that, but we all know that story about Adam and Eve and the serpent and all that, right? Okay. This is all tied together here. Whether this was in the future or is this a panoramic view, I don't know. I see through a glass darkly. Okay? But what I do know is that there was war in heaven. We are involved in a war, people. Every one of us, the youngest baby that's murdered at birth, you know, never had it. They were all involved in this because we were supposed to have dominion. And you know what? If you read Genesis, I'd love to go through this one day. If you read Genesis and you start, you see, you know, in the beginning, God's created the heavens and the earth, right? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be land, and there was land. And God said, let there be an expanse of the heaven, and there was heaven. And God said, let there be a greater light to rule the day, and there was a greater. Everything God said happened. There was never any question about it. Everything he said would happen, which was going to happen, did happen. Everything he created, it worked out, and everything was very good. And then he made man. He put him in this garden, this whole big place, taking care of everything for him. All right? And then, all of a sudden, this worm comes along, all right, says something to this woman, gets her to consider something, and she acts on it. In total disobedience to what God had said, now all of a sudden, it's not everything that God says happens the way it's going to happen. See, because now allegiance has been transferred to someone who hates God, someone who spit in God's face, to someone who thinks that if God blesses you, if God takes care of you, that that's an evil thing. And he makes this statement, now we're going back to Job, okay? Up in heaven, oh, well, wait, well, let's just stay here in the Revelation for a second. So the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth. He was cast to where? The earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Adam was given dominion over the earth. Now, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, that they did not love their lives to death. All right? And that they did not love their lives to death. Job's one of those. Okay? But he's the accuser. That's what Satan means. He accuses. How many of you had brothers and sisters? Raise your hands. Did you ever like it when you did something wrong and then your brother or your sister goes, Mommy, Mommy, look at what Joey did. Look at what Johnny did. Look at what Jonathan did. Oh, I heard that one a lot. Or vice versa, of course. I mean, I almost never did it to my sister, but I'm sure we didn't. But yeah, constantly accusing. And not only that, setting up traps. He sets the traps, okay? And then when you get caught in it, he says, look, you see? This is exactly what's going on in Job. Let's go back there. This is exactly what's going on. All right, so here's God up in heaven. All the heavenly host is here. He's saying, you see this guy Job? He's holding him up. Behold, there's none like him in the whole earth. There's no one like Job. And Satan says, doesn't mean a thing. It's just because you're blessed. Now, how did he know, by the way, that God had placed a hedge around him on every side? Ah, say it again, Mary.
Tried to get through it.
That's right. He's been, you know what? I have a window cleaning business. I do a lot of residential stuff, and sometimes I'll be cleaning the windows, and I'll see on the outside of the screen, I'll see like a bug, a mosquito or a fly or something, and they're going along the screen, and they're looking for every single place. They go just like this, in order. I've seen them do it. And they're looking for a hole, an opening, so they can get in. That's exactly what he's doing. And he's, you know, we learned in that spiritual warfare class that Nick taught, which, a great class, you know, how that from even before you were born, he's working on you. We worked on your parents. He's been working on us since Adam and Eve. See, you don't think that he's seen all the different kinds of people there are. You don't think he understands the different ways we're going to react when we see this or when this happens. You don't think that he's been working on us and training us. You have no idea. You have no idea what you're up against. There's only one way to win this thing. And that is, I mean, you have really got to go hard to God. We've got the best advantage, the best chance of anyone, you know, of actually beating this guy and the war that we're in and the dominion that we were given, which has been won back because of what Jesus Christ did, by the way. Okay, let's keep going here. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only don't lay a hand on him. He had to say it. See, because look, there's a war going on. The war is allegiance. He drew a third of the angels. See, he did this in the court of heaven. This is like a hostile takeover in a business meeting. Somebody challenges the guy at the, you've seen movies like that, you know, when they challenge the guy that's at the head of the business, saying he's incompetent or something. You know, this is the same thing. God had to say, and not only that, you know, Job actually had some chinks in his armor. See, God was protecting those chinks. This whole thing about the worrying about the kids, you know, it was over. He was overboard. He even said so. He said that I had fear in my life. All right. Now, do we completely understand why God had to do that? We don't completely understand it, see? But you got a general idea. See, but again, remember, we see through a glass darkly. Okay. Now we're going back down to the earth. First we're on earth, then we're up in heaven, now we're back down on earth. Okay? We're going to see the consequences of this accusation, this attack, because the devil, it's a war. There was a war in heaven. Why is the devil allowed in the presence of God? I don't know. You know what I do know? I see through a glass darkly. You know what I do know? What we heard in the manifestations. He's always with us. He loves us. He's going to protect us. He's going to take care of us. But do I understand completely? No. Does that shake my confidence? You know why it would shake your confidence? Because in the garden, when Satan tempted Eve, you know what he said? You're going to know good and evil. Before that, they only knew good. See, now our problem is all the time we're thinking, why is this bad? You know, we're comparing. See, there was no comparison before. There was an absolute. God said it, that's it. Now, it's like we're always judging. The brother and sister thing. Why did she get that? That's not fair. Oh, that's not fair. No, there's none of that with God. See? We just know that all things work together for good to them that love God. See? But because of this way our minds have been warped, twisted, we're always thinking about us and what's good for us and all these. No, no, no. We're soldiers. We're involved in a war. We were supposed to fight. Adam would have never wondered. You know, if Adam's walking along and he breaks his foot or something, well, I broke my foot. Big deal. God, you heal me. I'm fine. See? Not why did I break my foot or why did this happen or why do I have to go through that bush over there or to get that sheep that's caught up in. He didn't think about stuff like that. He didn't have to. See, because there was no concept of anything bad. There was no concept of loss or anything. Everything was good and perfect. You got to get that because, oh, now let's just keep going. All right, there was a day when we're back down on earth. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating, drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Oh boy, here we go. So you know Job's worrying. See, we already know that. He's thinking, oh Lord. Now, but watch this. God, Satan's been given, you know, he's gone on. He's going out now. The war has started. The battle over Job's soul, if you like, is going on. A messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. Nice little pastoral scene. When the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed thy servants with the edge of sword, and I alone am escaped to tell you. So one guy makes it out, all right? While he was still speaking, watch what's going on. Another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone am escaped to tell you. One guy gets out. Isn't that great? Somebody lived, right? Okay. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yea, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone am escaped to tell you. Same phrase. You know, it'd be easy to learn Hebrew from Job because all these phrases just keep repeating. You get the same phrases over and over again. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine. Seven boys, three girls, their husbands, their wives, eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Every one of them had their own house, by the way. This dude was rich. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are all dead, and I alone am escaped to tell you. All right, now, you know, you got to sit, you just got to just think about what just happened. Machine gun. He just machine gunned him down. One, two, three, four, just like that. One. How did they all end up coming at the same moment? Do you ever think about that? How, I mean, one right after the other. It probably was, all of this had to happen within a day or so. See? I mean, how big do you think his land was? You know, it wasn't the size of Texas, I'm sure. But, I mean, you know, it all had to happen within it. And every single one, and look at what happened. First, there's this band of these guys from the south, Sheba, you know, the Sabians. Okay, then the fire of God, they're blaming God. Was it from God? But they're blaming God. See, acts of God. You read in your life, house insurance policies, everything but acts of God are covered. And like, you know, see, but they didn't understand that. Why? Because when the devil got Adam and Eve to blow it, he's in charge. He don't want himself known. Again, in that spiritual warfare, the power is in the secrecy. How does that go, Nick? Yes, the secrecy of, because he don't, see, it's all invisible. We can't see spirit. So, you know, John, come up here. See, if you couldn't see me and we're fighting, look, I could come around this way and just bop you right in the head. You wouldn't even, and you turn around, you might think it's Mary. Why did you hit me? See? We wouldn't know. We don't know. We don't know why. I'm in a kayak with my wife the other day. We're just going up and down the lake. All of a sudden, the boat just flips over. I come out the boat. I swing my hand because I'm feeling like I'm drowning or something. I don't know what's going on. I break my hand. See? I'm not going to blame my wife because she wanted me to go kayaking that day and I wouldn't go in the morning or whatever. No. I know what caused it. See? I know what caused it. I know who did this to me. We'll get more into that. Okay. So notice. Oh, and notice the mercy of the devil. He lets one guy escape. Why does he let one guy escape? Exactly. Now this is, I'm telling you this, he is evil. He is wicked. He is, oh God. Only reason is so that he could tell Job, and he gets a marshal, so they're marching in one right after the other. Boom, 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 boom. Just one shot into his heart, and the worst he saves for last. What is it? His children. You don't think he loved them? You don't think we love our, Oh my God, every one of them was killed. And this great wind came. Notice what he did. He got people. I don't know if it was lightning or if it was a hailstorm, wiped out everything. Then people again, these Chaldeans, they're from the north. The one guys are from the south. The other guys are from the north. The lightning's from above. The wind came in from the east or something. God knows what. And how does a wind knock a complete house down like that? You know? See, these hurricanes that are that devastate the country, they're not from God. They're from the devil. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You want to stop him? There's a way. But Job didn't know about that at all. See? Job only understood just a very little bit. There was no revelation given. There probably wasn't the law from Moses. He just didn't know. This poor guy, all he knew is, I love God. I don't want to hurt him. I just love him. See? I don't want to do anything that would offend him. I want to be clean. I want to be righteous. Okay. So Job arose, he ripped his clothes off, he shaved his head bald, he fell to the ground and he worshiped God and said, naked came I from my mother's womb, naked shall I return, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, that is textbook. That is absolutely textbook response. That is everything God said about him is true. Everything the devil said about him was wrong. See? And that is the way when we are hit with stuff, that is one of the first things that we need to do. When I was in that bicycle accident and the bone in this leg was broken in 90 some odd pieces, you can't even understand the pain I was in. And I had a friend of mine call me up and he said, you know what? When you're in it, and I didn't know if I'd ever walk again. The doctor told me when he saw the leg, he went to his staff, and this was a man that worked on the Philadelphia Flyers. He was their head surgeon. He said he went to staff and just shrugged his shoulders like, I don't even know what to do. You know? And I never knew if I would walk again. Well, no, I knew. You know, but there's these thoughts that run through your mind. But this friend of mine, I talked to him one day, and he said, you know what, Jonathan? You should praise the Lord. When you're getting situations like, and I'd never heard anything like that. You know? So you know what I started to do? I started to get down on my knees, and I can't tell you how much that hurt. And I would just pray to God, and I would praise God. And you know what? The other day, I went jogging. I go up and down ladders every day. See? I mean, yeah, there's still a few residual effects, but basically, this thing is healed. You know? But it's the praising God. Okay. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this did Job sin not, nor charge God with wrong, because that's all he knew. See, and basically he's right. He's praising God. God didn't take it away. God did give it. See, but he's under attack, and he didn't understand that. We're in a war, people. We are absolutely in a war. Okay, again, now we're going to back up to heaven again. I'm getting tired. I'm getting dizzy, you know, with heaven, earth, heaven, earth, heaven. All right. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, that's familiar, right? That's almost like word for word what was there before. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth. How does that read in the King James? Perfect and upright. It says blameless in the New Translation. Blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Okay? Same thing he said before, same thing that was said at the beginning. This is Job. All right? This man is like textbook. He was the type of Jesus Christ. You know what? Most of us aren't this good. I guarantee you. Most of us, if we get to the time, I don't know, we may not get to it today, you can see how Job disciplined his life to just not do anything that would hurt other people, because that's what God wants. He doesn't want to hurt. See, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Who wants to hurt? The devil, Satan, that's right. He's full of it. He's just, I mean, he is full of it. It's just brimming over with evil. And still, all right, we're ending up, what is that, verse 3. Still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. Now that word without cause is the word that Satan said to God when he said, does Job fear God for naught? So, you know, God's like raving the red flag in front of him. He says, you know, you said he would curse me to my face. Okay, well here, he's being destroyed for no reason. He's not budging. This man is unbelievable. And oh, notice all this. He also said he holds fast to his integrity. I think in the King James, it's retains his integrity, right? Still he retaineth his integrity, huh? Hold fast his integrity. Okay, although you would, okay, all right. Remember that words. He holds fast to his integrity. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Remember those words. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. He doesn't give in. He never gives it. Remember the Terminator when that guy was talking to the girl about this machine? They never give in. They won't stop. He was going to kill you. He's not going to stop. It's the same thing with this dude. You know what? The only thing that stops him? Jesus Christ. Our faith. Okay? Touch his bones and his flesh, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bones and his flesh. He will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your hand, but spare his life. And you know, the Christians, they go nuts over this because they say, well, God's giving him permission. No, we're in a war. See, it was going to happen anyway. He was looking for a weak spot. It was going to happen anyway. See, because every one of us that loves God is going to suffer persecution. And I'll tell you something else. Everyone in the world suffers. You go and you look at what's going on in Africa, a lot of these godless places. I mean, you cannot believe the suffering in Asia. You know, Christian, no Christian, doesn't matter. The devil, he grinds people down. He hates. He just wants, he uses, when he got dominion over the earth, when he got dominion over the earth, he set up a system, okay, where the only way you get something is if you give in to him. You acquiesce to him. See, and almost nobody else gets anywhere with the in life without somehow paying some kind of allegiance or homage to him. That's the way he wants it. The people that don't do that are the ones he really goes after, but even the other ones. I mean, I've read about some of these people that were desperately wicked. You can't believe all of that. How many of their sons have died or they've crippling diseases. I mean, there's no mercy with this one. There's no mercy with the devil. He just hates. All right, so verse 7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. All right. So now here's another thing. He uses disease, sickness. See, there's no end to what he's going to do to break you or anybody else. But now watch this. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Now, wait a minute. In the first place, you know, if you're sick, is that what you'd expect to hear from your wife or your husband? You're sick, right? So your mom says, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just drop dead? Would that make you feel good? I mean, what is this? How can a woman say that? All right, maybe she was bitter because of all she'd lost. But my God, what do you think he's feeling like? Right? But hold on. Where did we hear integrity before? Who said it? Where did he say it? How did she know that? Wake up! How did she know that? What's the next thing she says? Curse God and die. Who said that? Where did he say it? How did she hear it? How did he know that she, yes, the devil. He's working in the dude's wife. Whose other wife did he work in? Adam's. That's not just in the blanket against women, okay? Men do it too, you know? My God, look at what's going on. He's not giving in one inch. He's not giving in one inch. He's still pushing it home. He's made him sick. He's got his wife against him. She's repeating conversations in heaven. How do you hear that? Man, that's straight down the pipe from the sewer pipe from hell. See? Straight down the pipe. And she's saying it. His wife. Who of anyone should be our closest? Be our closest. Your spouse, right? How many women have been just cut to the heart by things their husbands have said and done? How many men have done the same, women have done the same thing? How many of our mothers haven't said and done things that just ripped us to shreds, or our fathers? He's got the whole world in his, yeah, you know, but it ain't good. He's evil. He's wicked. But Job said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" Now, again, he's not worshiping God here, but you know, you don't quite see Job doing exactly what he did before. And one of the reasons is because he barely got into the sickness when his wife says this. See, she's already diverting his mind. This is so deep. You don't even understand sometimes the forces that are stacked up. And I'm not saying this to make him seem so big, okay? I'm just giving you an eye glimpse. All right, now, let's keep going. Job's three friends heard of all this adversity had come upon him. Each came from his own place. Eliphaz, the termite, Temanite, excuse me. He was a termite. Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. Okay, for they had made an appointment. Oh, isn't that, that's nice. You know, when you're sick, your friends get together, they want to come see you and you know, comfort you, right? That's great. And mourn with him to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar off, they couldn't even recognize him. They lifted their voices and they wept. They were genuinely moved. I mean, this was a horrible sight. He had lost everything. He had lost everything. They sprinkled dust over their heads towards heaven. They sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was great. Now, it might have been nice, doesn't say, if they were praying for him all that time. But doesn't say that, so we don't know, because that's right, we see through a glass darkly. We don't know what's going on. But after this, Job opens his mouth and cursed, cursed the day of his birth. Now, he's not actually cursing God here, but he's actually saying, "I curse the day you made me, God." I mean, Job is in a bad situation here. He's miserable. The pain, head to foot, boils. He can't stand up. He can't lie down. He can't anything on his head. He can't anything. He's just suffering, plus the anguish, his children, plus the riches. But it doesn't end there. You know, how much longer should I go, Nick? All right. Okay, so Job curses the day he was born. Then Eliphaz, the termite guy, okay, he probably had a termite extermination business. That's probably what he had. He says, "If one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Surely you have instructed many and strengthened weak hands." This is chapter 4. You all there, right? "Your words of..." Okay. Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Surely you've instructed many, and you've strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld many that were stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble. But now it comes upon you, and you are weary. It touches you, and you are troubled. Is not your reverence, your confidence, and the integrity of your ways, your hope..." Does that sound like something a friend that had been sitting there commiserating with you for a week would say? I mean, what do you mean? I mean, But let's keep going. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or were the upright ever cut off? Those who plow in iniquity, and so, this is verse 8, okay, you there? And so trouble, reap the same. By the blast of God, they perish. What, does a wind kill his kids? Remember that? And by the breath of his anger, they're consumed. It's not, I wouldn't exactly say those are very comforting words, but look at this. Verse 12, now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a whisper of it. In disquieting thoughts from the vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my body stood up. It stood still, but I couldn't discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? If he puts no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error. All right, let's keep going. How much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundations is in the dust, who are crushed before the moth. They are broken in pieces from morning till evening. Well, does God do that? You know? I mean, what? This guy in the middle of the night has this dream. And the spirit comes in front of his face and starts making him think, hey, something's wrong with this guy. But where do you think that spirit, you think that was the spirit of God? Does that sound like anything God would say about Job? You know, when we get to the end of this, we're going to see what God said about Job. We already know what God said about Job. Why would God come and whisper to this guy these kind of insinuations if it was God? No, this man had a visitation by a devil spirit in the night. See, before I'll bet it's before they hooked up to go to meet. But I see through a glass darkly. I don't know. Maybe it was the night before after they'd already agreed to meet. I don't know, because I see through a glass darkly. I'm not going to start figuring out things I don't know. You know, it's very interesting. In the book of Revelation, there's several times where John sees something, and he says to God, I mean, he doesn't say to God, but he says to this angel that's with him, well, what does that mean? And I laugh at that, because it's like, we got all these other guys, they read something, and they know what it means. You know, they all know about Revelation, right? And every one of them has practically been wrong. Okay. So he has this vision from the devil. I guess we're just going to have, I really hate to end on a bad note like that. But I'm not going to have time to finish this today. But you know what? I tell you, there's one thing we can do. So we see Job was under attack. All right. And, you know, if you turn to Romans chapter 5, because we all are under attack. And, you know, whether it doesn't have to be this blatantly evil. It can just be you come home, you sit, plop down, you flip on the television. Oh, yeah. Okay. So far we've seen he's gotten people to attack. He's gotten the elements to come against him. You know, he's got sick people. I mean, he's got sickness on him. He gets someone close to him. And you're going to see it's even worse than that. It's even Job's own thoughts that are against him. Because Job really doesn't understand what's going on. And he's tortured inside. He's got his friends. So now let me ask you something. What do you think kind of influence is coming from the television? What kind of influence do you think is coming from the radio? What kind of influence do you think is coming from all our wonderful explosion of literature and magazines? Okay. How much of that do you think is from God? Oh, do they ever mention God? Okay, well, we can go to some of the Christian publications, and surely most of them say God. I ran into a guy the other day. We offered to minister to him. I think God's brought this on me to teach me something. You know, decent guy, nice car. That's what he thinks. Why? Well, you know, I could have stopped there and started arguing. He didn't even want to talk about it, though. See? I mean, I'm telling you, you just, and then, of course, what do you think about our own thoughts? See, we think that a lot of our thoughts are our old friends because we've lived with them all our lives. I'm telling you, you got to watch every thought. We've heard this so many times in the teachings here. Okay, but we'll end this here, at least for now. Romans chapter 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, you know, spiritually we're as just now, actually more just than Job. Okay, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope, in the glory, in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. And you know, every time I read that, I'm like, what? What are you talking? But you know what? See, this is the thing. We're in a war. We're going to get attacked. See? So don't be afraid of the attacks. Glory in them. You know why? Because God's going to deliver you. See, you've got to believe that. You have got to believe that. You have, and that's why you give glory to God. Because you know he's going to deliver you. He delivered Job. And I mean, Job was messed up. Okay, I mean, he was flat out on his back. But we go into these things, when this happens, no, man. I know God's going to heal me. I know God's going to take care of this. I know he's going to reverse this financial. I know he's going to reverse this sickness. I know he's going to help my friend. I know it. I know God is going to deliver me. And that's the thought. You know, we go through with a battering ram because he's still a worm. The devil is still a worm. Don't make him the dragon. He's a worm. And with Jesus Christ, he's crushed his head. We glory in it. Have two more minutes? Okay. John. Look at John. Chapter 11. Just wonder. Now, I don't, you know, again, we see through a glass darkly. I'm not sure about everything I read in the Bible and all this stuff. There was a certain man, 11:1, that was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, right? It was in verse 3, therefore the sisters, his Lazarus' sisters, sent to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, him whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, you know, a lot of Christians have turned that into, well, that's why God's making you sick, so you can glorify God. But what if that means that every time someone is sick, we have an opportunity to go to them, to minister to them, to heal them, to get them better, to raise them from the dead, to the glory of God. What if that's what that means? What if it means that every time we're laid down on our backs because, you know, our car is wrecked or our house fell down or something, what if it means that we have an opportunity now to go to God, to believe God for deliverance so that it will go to the glory of God? What if that's what that means? Turn to Acts 5 real quick, and that's it. I guess it is 5. Okay, the apostles are out preaching the word. The Pharisees don't like it. In verse 40, this guy Gamaliel, they want to kill him. Gamaliel says, don't kill him. If this is of God, you're not going to stop it. If it's not, it'll peter out on its own. They agreed with him, it says. And then they call for the apostles. They beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they, the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching. See, they didn't look at those beatings as a bad thing. They're like, hey, because in Revelation it says that the people that have suffered for God, they're going to be completely exalted. You know? Every one of them is going to be vindicated and given incredible rewards. They didn't care. There was, see, if he can't, if you won't let what he does hurt you, if you go on the offensive, he, because then what they did, they told him not to speak. They rejoiced, they were counted worthy, and they went back out and they spoke. They weren't afraid. Think of all the times the Apostle Paul was beaten. And it didn't stop him. Didn't stop him at all. Well, there's a lot more to this, but I think we'll just stop there, okay? Lord, I surely thank you that you have truly given us the victory, that your Son, Jesus Christ, has come along and has undone all of the evil that has been done, and that one day it will be completely eradicated from this universe, and the moments that we suffer are nothing compared to a life of eternity and glory and rewards because we stand for you and we break the bonds of the devil. And I thank you, God, that it is available for each one of us to live and to move and to have that kind of a impact on this world. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.